Radio Network.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Thank God it's Friday!
Chubby Checker for you. That's what we need on a Friday. Thank God it's Friday, right? Are we getting so cabin feverish that we're just like gonna ready to blast out of the houses as soon as we can, and we're gonna go running down the streets, no masks, dancing in the streets, rubbing up against other people, you know, all kinds of strange things? When is that gonna happen again? Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you. It's Friday, December the 4th. We really appreciate your listening to us. In a few minutes, Veronique Darugi of the George Mason University's Mercatus Center is going to join us. We're going to talk about the latest virus relief package in Congress and how she feels it needs to be rejected. So stay tuned for that. And now, do they have proof on videotape in Georgia? Election officials may have been caught sending Republican poll watchers home and then pulling out boxes of ballots in the middle of the night. It's all on videotape. Boxes of ballots, maybe for Joe Biden, and adding them to the mix. We're going to talk about that with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi. That should be a very interesting discussion. And speaking about voting, was all that voting not at the polling booth, but everywhere else, you know, early voting, mail-in voting, the whole bit? Is that the Democrats' insurance policy? Was that what it was? Well, we're going to talk about that issue from a Federalist report, The Federalist. So stay tuned for that. Also, great top 10. The top 10 youngest billionaires. The youngest billionaires. Do you know who they are? We'll find out. By the way, we are sponsored here at Freedom Works in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best haircut for my money in Tampa Bay. You got to call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. And also, don't forget, the show that precedes us, Good Morning America. Good morning. I always say that. Good Morning Clearwater. They talk to America, but it's called Good Morning Clearwater. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the TAM Talk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen. Let them start off your day with the latest in news, entertainment, all kinds of things. And by the way, you want a poster or a banner like I have, or maybe you need flyers or business cards, you can call Tracy at 727-330-3212. 330-3212. You'll get the best banners and flyers and business cards you could possibly imagine. All right, we got a lot to talk about. I'd like to start off with what's going on in job growth. You know how you always have, at the end of the month, early in the following month, you get the employment figures. Well, the U.S. economy added only 245,000 jobs last month, pointing to a slowdown in the recovery from the virus. And this comes along with the surge of these new infections, which means that a lot more places are shutting down again. You know about that. much to the consternation of business owners and a lot of the public as well. The Labor Department gave a payroll report, which was released this morning, and it shows that the unemployment rate's still falling, by the way. It's down to 6.7%. You know, that's not bad, considering all of these businesses that are having to curtail or shut down. Now, economists had hoped that the economy would add 469,000 jobs. So that's, it's almost only 50% of that that we actually got. And we've had some tough times with the coronavirus that seems to contribute. Deadliest three-day stretch since the pandemic began. More than 100,000 people now hospitalized in the U.S. More than 210,000 new cases were reported yesterday alone. So we got a long way to go. Boy, that vaccine cannot get here quickly enough. In the meantime, what's going on in Georgia? What is going on with that videotape? Do our eyes deceive us on this? Governor Brian Kemp, by the way, he's a Republican governor of Georgia, who has been fiercely criticized by Trump over Georgia's approach to voter fraud in the Peach State, said yesterday that this new testimony is raising additional questions, and now he calls for a signature audit. Now, what is he referring to? He's referring to surveillance, a surveillance video allegedly showing poll watchers being led out of a room at State Farm Arena, which is the largest vote counting center in Georgia, after being told that the vote count was complete for the night. But once they left, you could see a woman pulling out suitcases from underneath a table, allegedly containing ballots. They started counting for hours. Now remember, they already let out the poll watchers. Poll watchers had been gone by then. And no supervisors present. The votes were allegedly counted for hours. Now what's going on there? Now they got it on tape. You can see it on tape. Now, of course, those people are going to say, no, we're doing paperwork, but we're not counting ballots or something like that. But it looks pretty fishy. Rudy Giuliani, you know him, he's one of Trump's lawyers. He said, smoking gun from Georgia. Well, maybe this is a smoking gun from Georgia. So the governor says he's calling for what's called a signature audit. But the power in the state to make that order actually doesn't lie with the governor. It lies with the Secretary of State. But the governor says he thinks it should be done. Well, this issue is not going to go away. And I imagine once Trump heard this and saw the videotape, he must have been ecstatic.
Do you know where State Farm Arena is? You know what it is, right?
Tell us.
It is in Atlanta, and it is where the Hawks play basketball, the big arena.
It's huge.
Yeah, and it's easy. Huge. It's easy to kind of
move things around.
Yeah, not be noticed.
Yeah.
Whereas a small place, you can keep account of what's coming in and going out. So if you want to go that way, but if this video, we need to see it soon.
Yeah, well, it's actually been shown.
I haven't seen it.
I was watching a little bit of it. Now.
Oh, yeah?
It was on last night. I was watching a little bit, I think on Fox News they were showing it.
Okay. And it was at State Farm Arena?
Yeah, where State Farm Arena.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you could see them moving boxes up onto a table from underneath. What are they doing if not counting ballots? That's what I would like to know. What are they were supposed to go home. They said they were sending the poll watchers home. Well, they're not allowed to count ballots without poll watchers there. That's illegal. You can't do it. So, very interesting. We'll see where all of that goes. In the meantime, we're going to go ahead, take our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the latest stimulus package with Veronique Darugi. There's a reason.
a sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
To Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories, so pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. It's warming up again in Tampa Bay, by the way. Kind of cold the last several days. A little better today. We're delighted to have back Veronique DeRugi. She is a senior research fellow at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And she has penned a piece, an opinion piece, for the National Review, great magazine, a couple of days ago. And she talks about the latest bipartisan Senate stimulus compromise. But she doesn't like it too much. She says it reads like a progressive wish list. Veronique, tell us, what's going on with this thing? And Biden was commenting on it as well. So what do you think? Is it going to pass? Do we have to take a hard look at it? What's going on?
Good morning. No, I don't think it's going to pass. That said, you should take my word for a grain of salt, because politics is not really my thing, and politicians make absolutely no sense to me. That being said, I will tell you what's going on. What's going on is that Congress, Republicans, and Democrats are just basically a broken record. With very few exceptions, they never actually really think very long and hard about the kind of programs that would be needed right now in order to address the current economic conditions. And instead, they tend to always fall back on what they have done in the past and what they've always done. What they always do is spend money, throw money at problems, whether you need it or not, whether evidence shows that it creates a lot of disincentive to work and great distortion. You know, and so that's what this bill is. It's what they've done before. It's the same old thing, right?
Yeah.
Same old.
Yeah.
And the thing that's really astonishing is that actually it's a compromise, but it really actually has the same program, just funded at a slightly lower level than what the Democrats wanted. And to be honest, the Republicans wanted. It looks like it's a mini CARE Act in a way. And it goes to the same programs, and it's totally independent and irrelevant to them that the economy has actually been bounced back. So they wanted to bail out the airlines. They wanted to bail out the states. They wanted to bail out Amtrak. They wanted to give bonus for people unemployed on top of unemployment benefits. When the unemployment rate was 14%, when it was 10%, when it was 8%, now that it's 6.7%, they want to do exactly the same thing. A slightly lower level, but ultimately they want to do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. Why do they keep packing in stuff that has nothing to do with trying to get us back on our feet?
Because it's politics. That's politics, right?
Yeah,
I mean, and the Democrats want this bonus for unemployment benefits. We have never, there's always, so the, during a recession, the federal government always does kind of step in to increase the amount of benefits, either by increasing the weekly amount that people get on top of the state benefits or the length of the unemployment benefit they're eligible to get,
mm-hmm.
and or both. I mean, often they do both. To give you an idea, during the Great Recession, the bonus from the federal government was $25. This time around, it was $600. We extended the length quite significantly. We also extended eligibility to pretty much everyone, including people who'd never been eligible before. We extended the eligibility to people who just decided that they didn't want to work because they were too scared or they have children at home. I mean, and we can think that in theory, it's not a terribly bad idea, but the problem is that in practice, it creates a lot of disincentive to work, especially since the size of the unemployment benefit, literally during the CARE Act, it meant that two-thirds of the people who were getting it were paid more, not working than working.
Right. I don't like the idea of sending out this money. I know that a lot of people will say, well, you know, they're losing their jobs and this and that.
Yeah, but why would we reply for more than what people
I know. Pay? I agree with you. I don't think it's a disincentive. Yeah.
I mean, if there's one good thing that I can say about this bill, as opposed to the CARE Act, is that they didn't do both. They didn't do both the unemployment benefit and then the check to individuals.
Right.
Because then it never made any sense, because this is like, I understand replacing wages considering the government was locking down the economy. But actually showering people with money that they can't spend effectively because the economy is closed, it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you talk about the fact that only 1.7% of the bill goes towards specifically all of the distribution, the manufacturing, the testing of the vaccine.
Yeah. So if you really want to stimulate, none of this is going to stimulate the economy what they have. But if really you want to stimulate the economy, you have to be able to reopen it fully. I believe they should reopen it fully and let people actually, you know, organize in the way that they feel comfortable, serving
yes.
their customers and consumers going out.
I think it's backfiring.
We need to be able to really get this pandemic under control. And the surest way to do this, though I don't like this notion that in the future, if there's any bug, we're going to have to lock ourselves up and wait for a vaccine. But the surest way, considering we're in this mess right now, is to have a vaccine that is heavily distributed. Well, what does this bill do? This bill barely allocates any money to that.
Yes. What would you do? I'm going to play devil's advocate, Veronique. By the way, we're talking with Veronique DeRugge. She is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at the great George Mason University. She's written a piece for the National Review, which was published 3 days ago, about this bipartisan, the so-called bipartisan Senate stimulus compromise. I'm not sure that McConnell is going to vote it in anyway.
So what I read today is that the Senate Republicans, continuing sexually to put their foot down and say that they're not going to do more than $600 billion, which is slightly better. I mean, it doesn't change the fact that the composition of the bill will look probably bad, and it's not going to be going mostly to vaccine distribution. And the reason why this makes no sense, that there's 1.7% of the bill that goes to vaccine distribution and manufacturing, is, and that's with testing too, but is the fact that we have vaccines right now. Actually, we have vaccines. So, like, maybe 2 months ago it didn't make sense, but now it makes sense.
Right.
Like, number one priority is to distribute this
getting
vaccine.
It out there.
Usually, I would think this is the role of the private sector, because we need to have it done so fast. You know, like, the government involvement is a must, especially considering that if we don't do this, the government locks us up. So
why is it, though, I don't know if you can answer this or even want to, why is it that Britain's getting it out already and we can't?
It's just, we are so risk averse in this country. We've become so risk averse. What has made this country great is innovators, is risk takers. And now we have become a society of where everything we do, we have to ask permission from the government. But the government has also such a risk aversion attitude that they operate based on this precautionary principle. And I think that's what's going on. There's a lot of President Trump, to his credit, has actually kind of lifted a lot of the things that were barriers to innovators to actually operate quickly. And this is how we got a vaccine really at the fastest vaccine production we've ever experienced, ever. But now it's stuck in the bureaucracy of the FDA, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, it's like everybody's afraid, and you mentioned this too. They're afraid to make these hard decisions or move quickly on things.
The reaction to this pandemic is actually quite evidence that we have become a very risk-averse society.
Right.
COVID is serious, but the reality is for children, I mean, the chance of them dying is the same as being, killed by lightning. For people
very, very small.
below 60, who don't have comorbidity, it's actually the same as being killed in a 20-mile round-trip car trip.
Right.
So, we have no problem doing that, but like somehow we are all paralyzed and by COVID. Now, I think there are measures we need to take to protect those who are really brutalized by this virus. But this tells me that American society, and it's not just Americans, have become incredibly risk averse.
Right. Let me play devil's advocate. If you were the mayor of a big city like New York and de Blasio, and he shut down, and there's a big to-do about a particular bar that does not want to shut down, and all kinds of people have rallied to the bar owner's defense because he's saying, this is going to ruin me and I'll not be able to continue, et cetera. But you've got huge concentrations of people in places, in boroughs, like in New York City, other cities. What do you do? Is it better to just say, look, we're going to allow you to make your own decisions? We will allow the business, like in here in Florida, Governor DeSantis basically is not curtailing businesses. He's allowing the businesses, to kind of go on their own, but not the same in New York. I just wanted your thought. Do you think it should be more libertarian?
Well, I think everything should be more libertarian. But the case of the pandemic, sometimes there is a role for the government to actually constrain activity. But in this particular case, if we've learned anything from the first lockdown, is that actually it doesn't do very much to constrain the virus. And I think this has been proven by many, many, many academic papers. and it just doesn't work. And you can compare between the countries that have actually hit very strict lockdowns and now are hit harder with actually really a second wave. I mean, this is not my area of expertise, but from everything I see, so this notion that we're going to do again something that actually didn't work that great, it's really problematic. I think Florida had it right all along. Some of the mistakes that probably the people who didn't close made was probably didn't protect nursing homes enough.
Right.
But I think my understanding is like actually Florida did a really good job on this.
Yes, and they have more nursing homes than any place. So yes. We haven't had the issue that they had in New York State.
Or in Sweden, for instance. Sweden was actually really doing really great, but they really, a majority of their deaths were in nursing homes. They did a very poor job at that.
Yes, yes, indeed. Veronique, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I know we could go on talking about this for quite a while, but I know we'll be talking again soon, and I thank you so much for your time this morning.
You're very welcome.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Veronique Darugi, and I think she makes a lot of sense anyway. Now, we're going to listen. They got proof maybe on videotape in Georgia. Georgia election officials may have been caught sending poll watchers home, pulling out boxes of ballots for Biden. We're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the barber poll after the break, Andrew Ceresi. Wake up, little Susie, wake
up. Wake up, little Susie, wake up. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back. And by the way, Freedom Works, we're with you Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen on podcast. He puts all our shows there. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and look at the top, look up at the top, there it is, podcast, click on it, and away you go. Well, boy, oh boy, you know, now I think they might have a smoking gun. Surveillance video in Georgia at their largest, by the way, their largest vote counting area, the State Farm Arena. I guess they play basketball there. The video allegedly shows poll watchers being led out of a room after being told the vote count was over for the night. But once they left, a woman could be seen pulling out suitcases from underneath a table. that allegedly contained ballots. Andrew, I'm sure that they weren't ballots. Maybe she was just pulling out some laundry. What do you think?
You know, Paul, Facebook already clarified that with their fact checkers that they have. And underneath the video, it says there was not suitcases. And they were right. They weren't suitcases. They were storage boxes.
Yes.
But Paul,
so therefore,
what did I tell you, Paul? This was nothing. They got caught with their pants down. The Democrats can't do nothing right. And they just proved it with this, Paul. Did you see the look on all those senators' faces yesterday when they said that this video, the one senator jumps up? That was debunked 2 months ago. That was debunked a month ago. And they said, how long have you had this video? 2 hours. They all died, Paul.
Yeah.
They got caught with their pants down.
It does look like it.
Paul, I've been saying it from the beginning.
Yes.
Donald Trump is smarter than these people ever dreamed of. Everything the Democrats touch turns to poop. They've got caught every time, Paul, that they tried to mess with Trump.
Yeah.
And you know what, Paul? Mm-hmm. This is going to be justified. Biden is not going to be the president, Paul.
You know, it's going on, apparently going on in the polling areas in Atlanta. I'm thinking that it's not going to be the only place they're pulling tricks like this. I've always thought inner city Chicago and Detroit and Philadelphia, you can't trust what's going on there. You can't. It's very sad. You got to have a videotape monitoring system that really just hones in on everything now.
Well, they did, Paul.
Yeah, well, they did.
They got caught with it.
They got caught, that's true.
And I'm quite sure there's plenty more that it's all been hidden. You know what, Paul?
Yeah?
Look at these great Americans that are coming out afraid of what could happen to them and their families to speak the truth and stand up for America.
Right.
Paul, I've been saying it. We have been with a war within ourselves in this country, and it's coming to a head, Paul. And if it wasn't for Donald Trump, none of this would get caught forward. If these liberals could sit there and say all they want when they look at that video, oh, this was a setup, you know what? They're lying to themselves.
Yeah.
They need to see what America's about. They live in the greatest country in the world, Paul, and they want to turn it into a cesspool. This will never happen again, believe me.
Yeah.
You can thank Donald Trump for it.
So in the meantime, speaking about Georgia, we've got that Senate race coming up next month, early next month. Senator Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue are the Republicans in that runoff, and Donald Trump is planning on being there. There's been some talk, apparently, from Republicans, they should boycott the voting because of all of the fraud. But we're thinking, don't do that, man. Don't do that. You got to get those two elected. We got to keep the Senate, right?
Well, Paul, I don't think they need to hold a vote until all this is over with, because there's a vote in this country that could be trusted.
Mm-hmm. But in
okay.
the, yeah,
but I mean,
but in the,
okay,
in the meantime,
boycotting. Well, you know what? Maybe it proves a point. The election could be just considered a toss out. Who knows what their laws are? Because they make laws up every day, Paul, with something to benefit.
Yeah.
But the fact is, with everything that's going on, you know there's corruption now, and every American.
Yeah, I've known that for a while.
Yeah, but now it's just. Remember, you always asked for the proof, Paul.
No, well, I've always thought. And I've had this discussion with people in my family that disagree with me. But I've always thought that inner city voting in all the major cities, there's always fraud. There's always fraud. Now, it might not be, it might be for reasons of trying to reelect a mayor or a councilman or whatever else, but there's always fraud. And if you're going to do it, you know, on a local level, you can do it on a national level. That's what I think. But there's no way of being able to go back and, you know, pinpoint it. I mean, you can say, it's like we know, you know, certain things are going on that are not good in certain areas of the world, but we're not there to prove it each time, but we know it goes on. You know what I mean?
Well, you're going to see more and more Americans stepping up now to the plate to discuss what they have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the American people need to heed and listen to what's going on. Because this is the fall of this country.
Yeah.
If they let it happen. And you are going to see Americans unite. Believe me, they will not win this, Paul.
You mean they being the Democrats?
The Democrats or whatever you want to call the opposing team in this country right now. I don't know if they're socialists, communists, Democrats. but they're not American.
Yeah.
And they're not for the benefit of this country, Paul.
Mm-hmm. So we talked with Veronique DeRugge before you came on, and we were talking a little bit about how Governor DeSantis and Florida basically are trying to keep businesses open and afloat, as opposed to places like New York and the city there, or where they're having all kinds of trouble and making new rulings about shutting down again. Go ahead.
New York is going to fall off the face of the earth if they keep doing what they're doing.
They've already lost.
What is the death rate of this virus? Less than 1%, I believe.
It's very low. We know
now,
who are the vulnerables.
Afraid, Paul, of a death rate of less than 1% in this country, let's get a grip. You don't kill the biggest economy in the world. You don't kill the greatest country in the world because of a virus.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. So we continue to, we've had some very bad numbers. Let's be honest. The virus numbers are bad right now. It's peaking a little bit across the country. And at the same time, we've got three companies that have a vaccine. England's already allowed the vaccine to be distributed. They're already in the process of getting their people vaccinated. And yet we've got a slower process here. Now, you said you personally would not take the vaccine, but you do agree that the vaccine is necessary, right, to be allowed to be distributed here in this country, correct?
Well, you know, they say that Obama, Bush, and who was the other one there? Did all want to take the shot first?
Oh, Carter?
Yeah, or Clinton. Clinton, Bush, and Obama says they'll take the shot first. They're going to step up to the plate.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure they give them the real stuff.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I don't want to see them put strychnine in there.
Well, I don't think... So, you know, I'm hoping in a couple of months we can say, you know, what's that going to be like? Early February, we can say, okay, most of the, you know, we're back to normal. We can start taking off the masks, the social distancing.
And the Democrats will say what a great job they did. Huh?
Yeah, well, that's true. Speaking about that, I was watching Biden last night. He was being softballed. He still wasn't making a lot of sense. He would go on and on. There is something going on with his thinking.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Paul, it's like I told you the other day. When this country elects a president that can't repeat or recite the Pledge of Allegiance, does not remember his wife from his sister, okay, this man cannot be president.
Now, he did call for another 100 days of masks. He said that during an interview yesterday, he said he plans to ask the public to wear masks for 100 days. Starting the day he is inaugurated. So, Andrew, I want you to go out. I want you to get a Biden mask. And as soon as the first day of his inauguration occurs, I want you to slap that sucker on. We gotta back the president.
Oh, definitely. Paul, you know, I got to say one thing before we part. Did you know how I had all my Trump paraphernalia in my barbershop?
Yeah.
Well, I did put it away for now. But people are asking me, why did you put it away? Well, you know what? We're going into the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my manger, and I have my little Christmas tree and two wreaths above that manger, because I don't want people to forget that Christmas is for the Lord and not for Donald Trump.
That's true, true. That's a very good point.
For the Lord, Donald Trump will not be where he is, and I believe he is backing this man like you've never seen, and the people don't believe. And the man up above will see the miracle that's going to happen with this country.
Mm-hmm. You know, we may be needing to turn more towards God and the spiritual side of our lives. It seems like it's really getting out of hand here. You know, those are the times, though, that I think we look towards the heavens, right?
Well, Paul, you know, when people take God out of the question, everything will fall apart. You know, look what happened to Rome. The greatest empire in the world, 700 years in the making, right?
Yes.
And what happened with the downfall? Greed, corruption, no morals.
Yeah, it occurred from within, not from without. They were ready to be taken because, like you said, the inside corruption.
That's right. And you know, what do we have today? The Lord will take care of this, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
It's in his hands, and I got faith that Donald Trump will be the president.
Always a pleasure talking with you about these things, my friend. I appreciate it very much, Andrew, and looking forward to talking with you again on Monday.
You got it, Paul. Trump be with you, buddy.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I wonder if he has a Santa Claus suit on when he's calling these days. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take our final break. And among other things, we're going to tell you the top 10 youngest billionaires.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Gallies. I love you, Peggy Sue.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tan Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment this Friday. Hey, by the way, have you started your Christmas shopping yet? 21 days left. Just 3 weeks left until Christmas. Well, I'll talk a little bit about this whole concept of all the voting outside of going to the polling booth on Election Day itself. Why do Democrats blanket the country with millions of dollars to alter election processes in ways that are known to substantially increase both error and fraud? Mail-in voting does that, let's be honest. Voting, harvesting of ballots, all of the different things, early voting situations. I mean, all of these things can lead to complications and trouble. Democrat allies in the media and in big tech rigged search results and online conversations to hide news harmful to Biden coming up to the election. Remember? All those things going on about Biden hunkering down in his basement and Hunter Biden. None of the media wanted to talk about Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's computer system that he sent to a repair shop, showing that there was conversations about how to make payoffs to the big guy. Remember, the big guy was his father. So all of this is going on. And, under the guise of COVID, all these states all of a sudden, for the first time coming out, to do mail-in voting. God, you know how it took Florida some time to get it all straight. And they have gotten it down to pretty good science here in Florida. We got out the vote and got the election got the results of our state in, very early. So we kind of know what's going on. But look what happened in places like Nevada. how long it took in Arizona, right? And some of these other states that were doing mail-in voting. It was just becoming a mess, an absolute mess. So as an example, 4 years ago, 2016, when Trump won, only about 24% of the votes were cast by mail. That means that mail-in voting approximately doubled this time around. Doubled. You know that's going to be causing more trouble. Even if it's not intentional, you're going to have trouble with those kinds of things. And now we got the thing going on in Georgia. People are really losing. That used to be the one thing, you know. We always knew that no matter what was going on in politics, we all had a chance to go to the polls and express our wishes. That's how a republic works. But now we can't even trust that. That's well,
there
very
were many,
scary.
Many firsts this year, too. Like another one was in Florida, people that had fines that couldn't vote. We had Mike Bloomberg come down and pay their fines for them so they could vote.
I know. I mean, this is
they
would,
anywhere they could find people, even 6 feet under.
Yeah, a few of those came up to vote again. Yeah. I mean, this is really crazy. I mean, you know, we've always had, and I've mentioned this, in Chicago, you know, things go on like that for a long time. But it just seems like it's getting worse. And when you do it, throw in the mail-in voting factor, you got both things going on. You got fraud in the inner city precincts, and you got errors, mistakes, and whatever in the mailing process. So, all right, but before we get to our top 10, we have a good one, Ed, top 10 youngest billionaires. I want to find out if Ed's on here.
Yeah.
I want to talk about our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We seem to have some issues playing good teams like New Orleans and Kansas City. Who are we playing this weekend?
Well, we're not going to lose this week. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, good.
Who guaranteed.
It's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Because you're not playing. They're on a bye.
I knew it. I just wanted to see if you... Yeah, I know we finally get a bye, so we can kind of heal up some of our people. How are our... How are our wide receivers injury-wise doing right now?
I think with this extra week, I think they should all of them should be 100%. You know, because you figure over the last couple of weeks, guys like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin have not been getting a lot of work out on the field. It's been going to other people. It's been, you know, Antonio Brown, Gronkowski. So...
On Tuesday, or maybe it was Monday, you and I talked about whether or not Tom Brady was calling his own plays. And then I saw something come out where the coach said that they're letting Brady call some of his own plays. So what's going on with – is that contributing to a better situation? Is that what we want with Brady, for him ultimately to call all his own plays?
The problem is there's two different schemes. You got Brady's scheme, which he was used to in New England. Well, it was the short pass and occasionally a long one, where, you know, Bruce Arians, the head coach, is no risk it, no biscuit, throwing it down the field. And, you know, that's why Jameis threw 30 interceptions last year, you know.
Yeah.
It's wild and crazy, hair on fire, and chuck it. So, and Brady doesn't want to do that, you know. So, but still... Still, as you look when he throws to them, some of them he's missing by a little bit. But some of the guys are just not open, you know?
So is it just a matter of time? I think we talked about
Tony Romo last week. did a great job showing people in Tampa saying, quit blaming Brady. Let me show you something here. If Mike Evans, your all-pro
receiver,
not
running routes correctly,
he's not finishing the route.
Right.
If he finishes the route, this is a completed pass.
That's where the ball was supposed to go.
Yes.
Yeah,
and you figure a guy that's been in the league 22 years throws to a specific spot, knows probably with his eyes blindfolded where that spot is, you know?
Finally, you're pretty sure that the Bucs will be in the playoffs, right?
Not 100% sure at this point.
No, not 100%.
They got four games to go. They need to win at least three out of the four. And there's no guarantee. So you're going to play the Falcons twice, which the Falcons have won their last four, I think, or 4-1 in their last five. And then you got to play the Detroit Lions, and you got to play the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, that should be an easy one. Yeah.
Well, now the Detroit Lions fired their head coach, and now what happens
they
after
fired the GM too, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And what happens after that? Players start stepping up.
Well,
you know, and want a job next year, so they
stepping up or giving up.
Well, they already gave up.
Yeah.
But now they play for a job.
Step up. Okay.
Now they play for a job.
All right, good. All right, time for our top 10, Ed. I think we have a good one. These are, this comes from Forbes magazine. These are the top 10 youngest billionaires.
Yeah.
Let's see how young they really are. Here we go. Number 10, Lucas Walton. He's of the Walton Walmart family.
Mm-hmm.
He's 34 years old.
Oh.
He's worth $17.3 billion.
He made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it.
He's the grandson, by the way, of Sam Walton. Number 9, Bobby Murphy. Bobby Murphy co-founded Snap. You've heard of Snap?
Yes.
He co-founded it. He is 32. He's worth $2.4 billion. Woo! Number 8. Patrick Collison. With his brothers, he co-founded Stripe. You ever heard of Stripe?
I've not heard of that.
A tech company that lets businesses easily transact online payments.
Mm.
And he's worth $3.2 billion. Number 7. Evan Spiegel, co-founder of Snap also. So Spiegel and Bobby Murphy. Evan is only 30 years old.
He probably got a higher cut.
No, he got exactly the same.
Okay, $2.4 million. He's younger, he's higher.
He still
because
gets
he's
the
younger,
same
he's higher in your list.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we're going by youngest.
Gotcha.
That's correct. Okay, where are we here? Number 6. Another Collison. This one is 30, so he was younger than the other Collison. Net worth $3.2 billion. Number 5.
Good Lord, you're kidding me.
No! Jonathan Kwok, K-W-O-K. He's the younger son of Walter Kwok, late chairman of Sun Hung Kai Properties in Hong Kong. Largest real estate developer. 2 billion. Number 4. Gustav Magnar Witzo. What a name.
I know Gustav.
I bet you do. He owns nearly half of Salmar ASA, one of the world's largest salmon producers. 27 years old, $2.3 billion. Okay, number 3. Actually, 2 and 3 are the sisters Alexandra and Katarina Andresen. They are respectively 24 and 25 years old, Norwegian heiresses of John Anderson, a Norwegian investment company. They manage hedge funds.
Mm.
So they're each worth $1.1 billion. Can you imagine being that young? You barely know what money is all about.
Right?
And you got $1.1 billion?
What a shame.
Each. Okay. I know, well, you know this person, Ed.
Okay.
You want to even give it a shot for
no.
number one? Okay.
Unless it's Zuckerberg, but no, she's not young enough.
It's Kylie Jenner. Although she became known as a member of the E-reality series, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, she's made a name for herself as an entrepreneur. At 14, she and her sister launched their clothing line, Kendall and Kylie. She's 23, and she's worth exactly $1 billion? Okay, there you go. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. We'll be back on Monday. And remember, freedom works.
Guy in town.
Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDC.